When it comes on you, you care less what people say about you. You care less if your tie gets crooked, your hair gets up. When God gets on you, only thing that matters is plug it into Him. Amen. How many loves that Holy Ghost tonight? Amen. I love Him. He loves me. Thank God for that. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 18. Thank you again, CLC. You are a blessing to us, to this church. And y'all are welcome anytime. Anytime, you're welcome. Amen. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, the Bible said, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country." Somebody say a far country. "And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all..." Yeah, there's coming a day. You can mark it down. Bible talks about pleasures of sin yet for a season. Just because that judgment has not come knocking down your door does not mean that God condones your behavior. But there's coming a day that all that stuff is going to be gone. The Bible said he spent all. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Be careful who you join yourself with. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee.'" I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. Time to stop playing games, playing church. You know what I mean? Just showing up on Sundays and doing what is taught us. When we hear a fast song, we're just getting with it. When we hear preacher exert his voice, we want to say big amen. We don't want to play church anymore. We need God to intervene. And we need God moments to have. And it's time to come home. If you believe that, put your Bibles down, raise your hand towards heaven, and just thank Him for His presence and His touch. God, we love You. We thank You for Your power, Your spirit, Your touch, Your anointing. Thank You for the blessings that we feel in this house tonight. Thank You, God, for everything You've done to us. I pray tonight, God, that You talk to us. You'd impart truth unto us. And we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but we'd become doers of the word. In the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we love you. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It has been said that sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It'll cost you more than you wanted to pay. And it'll keep you longer than you planned on staying. Bishop talked or alluded to this scripture earlier this morning in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. "For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world." And it has been since the very beginning of time, those three battles that every one of you have to face. lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It just many times changes appearances. From the fruit of the tree to the jealousy of a brother. From a bowl of pottage to the desires of a kingdom and a throne. From the desires of a forbidden woman to the lust of power and fame. From the desires of being the greatest in the kingdom to selling Christ for 30 pieces of silver. It is the cry of the world. It is the cry of the flesh. 2 Timothy 4:10 says this, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Mark chapter 8, 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I really don't know what this is worth to you. I don't know what this means to you. It may just be something that you do on Sunday. It may just be something you do on Easter or on Christmas. It may just be something we do on camps and conventions and youth retreats. It's just a feeling or just an emotion or just a bunch of hype. That must may be what it means to you, but not for me, because this is more than a feeling. Although I can feel him all over me, this is more than just emotions, although I can't help but get emotional over the fact that he cares about me and he loves me and he has forgiven me. This is more than hype, although I feel that fire that I was talking about from Jeremiah, where he said, "It's like fire shot up in my bones." I'm telling you, when God gets a hold of you, when God shows up on the scene of your life, you can really say, "God, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for your mercy. I'm thankful that you care about me. I'm thankful that you love me. I'm thankful, God, that you're concerned about me. I want this world to know this. I choose him. I love him. I want to live for him, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but every day that I live. I want this world to know I love him." It's fire shut up in my bones. It will make you talk right. It'll make you act right. It'll make you change, because there's something about when God gets a hold of you and you have made up your mind, "As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord." When you make up that determination, it changes everything about you. Thank God for that, because the Bible talks about when he shows up, he said, "He that the Son has set free is free indeed." Thank God that I've been set free. Thank God I don't need the cares of the world. I just need God. I just need him to show up. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter the time of day it is. All you have to do is mention that name that's above every name, and it just seems like time stands still and the Holy Ghost begins to be showered upon you. There have been moments where I've literally been driving in my car with my mind on everything else but God, and all of a sudden, God shows up. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I feel just that presence of God, and tears flow down my face, and I just begin to vocalize to him how much I, and I have a Holy Ghost moment in the car. And I look over, and I got people on the other side with eyes bigger than Dallas going, "What's going on there?" But you got to get a frame of mind that says, "I don't care what I look like. I don't care what others say about me. I don't even care what they think about me. I just care what he thinks about me, because I want to please him." He said, "If you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you." So that's the question. What is this that you're involved in? Is it just on Sunday? Is it just on church? Is it just on special events? Or has this become a lifestyle? I hope it has. Because I'm telling you, as a knucklehead behind this pulpit, I remember what I was before God showed up. And thank God for mercy and thank God for love. And I say this without trying to be mean or spiteful at all, but I don't come to church for you. I don't show up. I like you, okay? Now, don't leave and say, Pastor don't like me. Pastor don't care. Pastor don't even want to look at. Well, sometimes I don't want to look at you. Because I know sometimes you don't want to look at me. But I'm telling you, I didn't show up for you. I showed up for him. And I'm glad that you showed up for him together, because we can get together and we can praise God together, and we can understand that what we're a part of on Sundays and Wednesdays and special events is all centered around him. And it's a celebration of him. Sub amen to that. Amen. Luke chapter 15, 1 says, the Bible talks about a certain man had two sons. And in verse 2, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He came to his dad with an entitlement attitude. We live in a world and a society that thinks that life owes them a living. That mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, they gotta take care of them all the days of their life. Everybody loves when somebody has a baby, right? And you're like, oh, this baby is so cute, and this baby's so beautiful, and you're just going, ooh, and ah, and you're taking all these pictures, and the baby makes a mess, and you're like, ooh, baby made a mess. But here's the deal, is you know that baby is not always going to be a baby. And you're happy for the birth, but you're really happy how it begins to progress in life. I'm telling you, you love babies, and you thank God. If you had a baby for 75 years of your life and you had to change that baby's diaper for 75 years, you wouldn't say, ooh, ah, this is beautiful. You would say, yeah, give me a refund or something. Because you want that baby to grow up. But there are people that never grow up. And they're people with entitlement attitudes that says, Dad, you're supposed to take care of this, and you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do everything for me. And Dad does all this, and there's never a thank you. I love to give. I really do. Hopefully I have blessed some of you. I love to give, but I do not like giving to people that expect it. When you're going out for a meal and they order the highest thing on the menu and they have no desire to even pay the bill. I mean, they order appetizers, they order steak and lobster, and you're like, oh my goodness, I guess I'll have water. Because when the bill comes, they're gone. And that's how it was with this son. He comes to his dad and he says, give me my portion. Well, doesn't inheritance always come after death? But this boy comes to his daddy and says, give me my portion. I mean, what was he thinking, Brother Rincon? He didn't earn that money. He didn't work for it. He had no idea of the value of this. He didn't even deserve the inheritance. But somehow there was a pull on him. A pull to leave. A pull for the faraway country. A pull of the world. A pull to leave his family and his home. And he didn't care who he was going to hurt. He didn't care about the pain or the turmoil he was going to cause. He just wanted his money. He just wanted the do-re-mi. He just wanted his inheritance. And he said, Father, give me the portion of my goods. And so in the next verse, it says, and he divided unto them his living. The father divided his wealth. The father divided his possessions. Divided unto them, both brothers. What a sad day it was for that father. Watching his son leave. I guarantee you that the father was not thinking about the money that he gave. Father was not thinking about the possessions and the goods that he bestowed unto his boy. But I tell you, as the daddy watched his son leave, the dad was heartbroken because he was leaving the protection of his home. He was leaving all of the blessings and all of the provisions and the covering. And daddy had to watch his boy leave. What a horrific event to have to watch. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. The pain of watching your child walk out of your house and into an ungodly environment. Knowing that they're walking into a trap, knowing that they're going to make a mistake, knowing that they're going to cause heartache and pain. Bishop alluded to it again this morning, and I read about it. One of the pastor's worst things to ever have to go through are people, number one, that don't do what he says. But worse than that are people that will walk out of the church. That'll leave protection, that will leave blessings. And I preached a message years ago that you can have what you want, but you lose what you got. But sometimes people are so irrational that they don't even count the cost. They just want to go. It's just their way or the highway. And one of the worst things a pastor could ever have to deal with are people, number one, that don't listen to what he says or follow with what he says, but go out and do what they want, knowing that pain and destruction are going to happen. We don't want that. We don't wish that on anybody. But Bishop was correct. You're going 75 miles an hour on a 35 mile an hour turn. It ain't going to end pretty. And yet there are people that do that every day. And if you could see that dad as he watches his boy leave, knowing what his boy is walking into, knowing what's going to befall his way. It's like you tell your kids, don't touch that hot stove. Don't look at that. You're trying your best to help them, but they don't see it. And that's what daddy was saying. Don't leave, son. I'll give you whatever you want. But he watches his boy leave. And in verse 13 it says, and not many days after, younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I just heard this just the other day that there was a man that spent $1 million in one day. We're like, what? How could that happen? And everybody knows who I'm talking about. His name is LeBron James. When he got his first big check, he spent $1 million in one day. That's right, Brother Brad. $1 million. And so they immediately say, what'd you spend it on? He said, well, I bought my mama a house. And I bought me a car. And I bought me some other stuff. $1 million. Like that. And this is what happened to this boy. I don't know how much he got. But he wasted his substance with riotous living. All because this boy now says, I'm my own man. I make my own decisions. I know what's best for me. I know what I can do and what I can't do. And the Bible said he goes to a far place. A place without responsibility. A place that is absent with rules. A place that promises better days and opportunities but never fulfills them. All because he wanted his own way and nobody was going to tell him what he can or what he can't do and what he can spend his money on and what he can't spend his money on. The Bible calls it righteous living, extravagant, luxurious, no care for tomorrow, unrestrained by immorality. Doesn't matter what you think about it. Doesn't matter what you're going to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. appeasing the flesh, satisfying all the desires of the flesh. But there came a day, verse 14, there always comes a day. There's always comes a day of reckoning where the Bible said he spent all, and there arose a mighty famine in that land. He spent everything that his daddy gave him. He spent everything that his daddy worked for. He didn't work for it. Every possession that dad gave, he was going to give it to him for his inheritance. One day he'd be set for life. And in a moment, he spends all of daddy's fortune. And he began to be in want. In the valley of want. And the Bible says in the valley of want, in verse 15, that he went and he joined himself with a citizen of that country. Who is the citizen? There's only two mentioned in this far country, the prodigal and the citizen. One's a traveler and the other's a resident. The prodigal suffers in the famine, but the citizen gets stronger in the famine. The prodigal has nothing, but the citizen has a farm. The citizen would get the prodigal to work, but the prodigal would get no pay. Who is this citizen? I tell you who it is. He's a thief that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the adversary. He is your enemy. He cares nothing about you. He's after one thing. He's after your soul. He's after your hope. He's after your dedication and your commitment with God. He seeks for one thing, and that is to remove your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. He doesn't show you the other side of the billboard. He doesn't show you the man that's on the horse soaking his last breath. He doesn't show you the man. All he does is show you what the flesh desires. But when the money's gone, when the hype is gone, when the newness wears away, you find yourself just like the prodigal in the valley of want. No hope, no moral compass anymore, nowhere to go, no more protection from mom, no more covering, no more prayer. Just in want. A wasted life. Destroyed dreams. Valley of regrets. And you find yourself joined with this citizen. Bible says in verse 16, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. He worked but didn't get paid. He got so desperate that he found himself in the pig's trough, beginning to eat. I don't know if any of you ever watched pigs eat. It's nasty. I mean, their whole life is centered around mud. There's mud everywhere, and they're just walk. Their bellies are dragging the mud, right? Bishop had two potbelly pigs back in the day, and they were so big, but they loved to go down to his little pond and drink. But one day, we weren't even there. One day, we found those pigs floating on the water. Because somehow those little legs couldn't swim. But they trudge everywhere. And yet you see a pig trudging in mud. And then he gets up in his trough where he eats and mixes it with mud and begins to eat. And the Bible says that's where the prodigal was. He was so, you probably have never been this hungry. I mean, some of you are probably hungry now, but you're really not as hungry as he was. I mean, he had everything when money was there. He had friends, he had fame, he had prestige. Every time he went out, everybody's like, I won't be around him. But when the money's gone, brother, they were gone. And this cat that was so accustomed to eating steak and lobster and all you can eat sushi, found himself, there's no sushi bar, there's no steak and lobster, finds himself at the trough where the pigs are just muddying up the food, and he's in so much want that he begins to reason himself, I need to eat some of that. And that's what the enemy does. Wants to beat you down so far that you feel like there's nowhere to go and no way, any possible way you could get out of this mess. But there was something, Brother Victor, that his daddy had put inside of him. That's why moms and dads, it's so vital what you, how you invest in your kids. Because the Bible says, train up a child in the ways they should go. And when they're old, they shall not do. It's a seed that's planted in that heart. And that boy at that time, he was going to eat that slop. He came to himself. And he realized, I don't have to eat that. I know I don't have any money. I don't have any clothes and everything's filthy. And I've been a failure and I've wasted all this money. But I don't have to stay here because I got a daddy. I got a dad back home. I know I don't deserve to go there. I know I don't deserve mercy, and I'm not looking for mercy. I'm not looking, Brother Alex, to be a son again. I'm just looking to be a servant. As I remember what it was like, Brother James, when I sat there and I watched what my servants ate, I saw how generous my daddy was to the servants, and I know that if I could just get back to daddy's house, I know I could at least be a servant. I'm not asking to be his kid again because I've disgraced the family name. I've done some things that I regret. I wish to God I could erase them, but I can't change yesterday. I can only change today. And so he makes up his mind. I'm going back to daddy's house. I'm telling you, the first step back in your relationship with God, you've got to come to yourself. You've got to make up your mind once and for all. I'm not living this way for anybody else but for him. And I'm going to make up my mind. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they talk about me. I don't even care what they do to me. I just want to make my way back to daddy's house. Because at daddy's house, Sister Lupita, is love. And you talked about it this morning, Brenda. You talked about coming in here and feeling acceptance and feeling love. You didn't deserve it. You were a knucklehead. She gonna run the aisles on that. You done some things. Ain't good. Linda, you haven't been good either. Victor, you haven't definitely been good. It's easy to get out the judgmental stick and say, I know where you were. I know what you've been involved in. I know what you're all about. I know your past. It's easy to do that. But baby, God says you got to take the spotlight off everybody else and you got to turn the searchlight on yourself. Because I'm telling you, as much as I say they've messed up, this cat has messed up. And if God can forgive me, if God can put me back on that straight and narrow path, if God could take that crooked place and make it straight again, I know if you could just get back to daddy's house, if you could just get back to home, God will rescue you. But you gotta make up your mind. I'm coming home. I'm coming to daddy's house. I'm preaching to somebody. I don't care what you've been involved in. I don't care where you hung out. What I care about is you're here right now. You're in daddy's house. And you gotta understand there's a God that loves you. There's a God that believes in you. Because there are times you don't believe in yourself. And there are times you don't like to look at yourself in the mirror. Because when you look at yourself, You see everything that you've done and everything that you've been involved in. And you're like, I don't belong here. I don't deserve this. But because he loves me, I can raise my hands. Because he loves me, I can run. Because of mercy and grace, I can shout. Because he that the Son has set free is free indeed. You don't know, like I know, what he's done for me. And you can't tell it like, that's why the word said, we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of your testimony. Don't hide your testimony under a bush. You need to get it out. You need to publish it to everybody you come in contact with. When they talk about their parties, you want to say, well, I had a Holy Ghost shout down on Sunday night. God healed my body. Has anybody ever been healed before? God ever healed your body before? Don't hide it and say it was just for those in the book of Acts. Publish it and say there's a God that's a healer because he healed my body. What are you standing up for? You weren't that good. He's a knucklehead too, Sister Rincon. Where's she at? Yeah, she's like, amen. Girls, your daddy was good for nothing. What are you smiling about, Jonathan? You weren't good either. But I got news for you. Look who's in the palace now. Look who's in the house of God now. Look who's in the sanctuary now. You said I'm a failure, and I'll always be a failure. But there's a daddy that says I've come to redeem and reclaim. Oh yeah, you got a reason to clap. You got a reason to shout. You've got a reason to jump because there's a God that believes in you. I don't care what they sing. I don't care what they play. I don't care who preaches. I come to give him praise. Because he saved me. And he healed me. And we know the story. Brother Eli, you look like a great prodigal. Get on over there where Brother Ramos is. And he don't even look good. Take your jacket off because you don't have no jacket. Take your tie off. You ain't got no tie. Take your glasses off because you can't see. You're fixing to eat pig slop. And take off those shoes. Okay, that's it. I don't want to shut it down and mic drop. But notice, we know the story. The prodigal makes up his mind. I'm coming home, right? I don't want to be a kid anymore. I'll just be a servant. He's rehearsing it in his brain. And I don't think he left this way. That's where he left. He had the money. He had the bling. But he didn't come back that way. He came back like this. I don't know. I don't even have the word. I don't know what I'm gonna. I'm serving. I don't belong here. But I need to come back. Change of. And that's what he's doing. And he's rehearsing his lines, of a servant. And he begins to slowly walk. He doesn't get in a hurry. Heads down. And daddy. Every night. Looking. Every night waiting. That there may be a possibility that my boy is coming home. Because the Bible says this, that the son runs to the dad. No. Stay. Son should have. Son should have done his best to get an Uber rider and drive them as fast as they could home. But he didn't do that. But so many sleepless nights, Dad was saying, this may be the day, this may be the moment where my son comes home. And the Bible said, as he sees him afar off, that he runs to his boy and he puts his arms around him. And he had compassion on him. And his boy was saying, Dad, I just want to be a servant. And Dad wouldn't listen because Dad was just kissing his neck. He came in here saying, I don't belong. But before he knew it, Dad, ripping off his coat, saying, I'm putting this on you, son. This goes to you. Yeah. You know, you got a holy sock. You got two holy socks. He brings them to church. Thank God for that. But we go, what size shoe you wear?
9.
Beautiful. And so Dad gives him his shoes. Notice, Dad already gave him possessions. Dad already gave him inheritance. But the father never ceases to give. As now, he gives back a jacket. He gives him shoes. Because there's something about the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost gets on you, I think the Bible says something. He'll lead and guide you into all paths. I said there's something about that Holy Ghost, that comfort from the storm, that protector that he puts on you, that's the Holy Ghost is. But here's the incredible part, is he gives him a ring. I ain't got a ring, but he gives him a ring, puts it on his right arm. You know why we shake people's hand with the right hand?
Oh, awkward.
Awkward. Have you ever done that where you reached out and no one did? You're like, oh, thought you had a friend. He said, hey, and they're like, I wasn't talking to you. Right hand's authority, it's power. And what the dad did, his dad placed a ring on his right hand, giving him authority now to conduct business. To begin to make financial decisions now on Daddy's name. He's already messed up Daddy's name. But he said, you're no longer going to be a servant. You're no longer going to be judged by your past. You have now decided to come home. And when you come home, baby, you come home with everything. I'm giving you a jacket. I'm giving you shoes. And I'm giving you the power to be whole again. Some of you got to make up your mind. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care what others are going to say about me. I'm just coming home. I'm coming back to Daddy's house. Somebody had a gummy worm on. You brought a gummy worm with you from the pig pen? Telling you, it's okay to laugh in the house of God. It's okay to have fun because we're supposed to be real in here. Brother Kevin, I got baggage, man. I wasn't always this good, and I'm not that good. I've got a long way to go. I'm like Apostle Paul, where he says, I got to die daily. I'm telling you, there are things in my life that's not perfect, but I'm trying my best to live the best life that I can. I'm telling you, don't let the enemy, don't let the adversary try its best to get offenses and make you bitter and make you feel like you're a second-rate citizen. When the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, you become royalty. You become adopted into a royal bloodline. God believes in you. But you got to believe in yourself. And you got to have faith to believe that when I come to Daddy's house, he going to love me. When I come to Daddy's house, he's going to give me mercy. I know Brother Manny, I don't belong here. I know I don't deserve this, Brother Alex, but there's a God. There's a God that loves me. I'm preaching to you, there's a God that loves you. I'm preaching even prodigals tonight. They're moms and dads that have wayward children. And I'm telling you, you'll never go wrong. And keep on praying for them and putting covering on them and saying, God, I want you to bring them back home. God, I want you to touch them. I want you to do what you can, God, to bring them back home. So I didn't forget, Brother Daniel, shaking your hand because I believe in you. And I'm not just saying this, but there's a touch of God in your life. God has called you for a purpose. In a few short months, you're going away into a college where you really don't know anybody. And you're leaving your family church. But God's saying, you're not leaving me. I'm coming with you. Don't live for God just here, but bring God everywhere. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Raise your hands and raise your voice. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice in this house. I come to tell some of you, you don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to stay in that pig pen any longer. You can get up out of that and you can make your way back to Daddy's house. Come on, lift up your voice. Lay a hand on somebody. Won't you pray for somebody? Won't you pray an anointing on them? Why don't you pray a covering on them? Why don't you pray a determination? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to put God first. All across the building. Come on, I feel the love of the Lord here. I feel mercy in this house. I feel grace in this building. Won't you grab somebody by the hand? Won't you say, let's go up to the front. Let's make a commitment tonight. Let's make a rededication tonight. That I'm going to put God's kingdom first. I'm going to put him where he belongs.